What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at thepewterplank.com, and make sure you're following along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at thepewterplank, at jyarko underscore bucks, and at dh82 underscore bucks. Today is the first day of our progressive mock draft series here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, featuring other podcast hosts from the Locked On Network. And we are very excited to kick things off with the host of the Locked On Browns podcast, Mr. Jeff Lloyd. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Guys, this is the best time of the year. Glad to join you guys. All of us at Locked On, we always try to look out for each other. But this is just so much fun. I mean, look, there's 28 days left. I know everybody kind of gets frustrated, with Twitter and everything, all that goes on, because now it's to the point where, everybody's kind of got their homework done, ready for it to happen. But look, this is still fun. I mean, there's still things that can change, whatever it is. But look, man, we got 28 days. And look, once this draft happens, I mean, football is going to get shut down for about 5-6 weeks. There's really not so much to talk about at that point. So let's have some fun with it. Let's enjoy it till it dies.
I could not have said it better myself. And yeah, this time 4 weeks from now, Jeff, you're going to know who the Browns have with their first round picks. We're going to know who the Buccaneers have with their first round pick. And it's hopefully going to instill a lot of excitement in both fan bases. But we want to try to gauge, using experts from the other networks, as to kind of where the Buccaneers are going to stand. That's how this whole idea came to be. So let's start with the Browns offseason. And I feel that they've had a very, very good one. Of course, the retirement of Joe Thomas. And he was not only, of course, a fan favorite of the Cleveland Browns, but he was a fan favorite across the league. Just a genuine guy. Incredible to watch. Just, surefire, slam dunk, first ballot Hall of Famer. And I would argue one of the classiest people in the NFL. So, of course, Joe Thomas has retired, but you guys bring in Todd Haley to be your offensive coordinator. You trade for Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry and Demarius Randall. You sign Carlos Hyde. The Browns are making some really, really nice moves this offseason. I mean, can you kind of dive into the moves that they've made, how they're going to fit, and maybe how that's going to affect the draft strategy a little bit?
I think, first of all, what they did through the offseason, obviously with the trades, and that was a frenzy that went off that Friday night. I think before we actually hit free agency, the Browns realized, and John Dorsey, and obviously the guys over from Green Bay with Highsmith and Wolf, I think they realized we don't know how much of a player we can be in free agency, because the team is 1-31 over the last 2 years. But the toughest part is, when you're going to sell a free agent, is we still have the same coach in-house, who went 1-31 over 2 years. So you went out and you traded for guys. Deshaun Kizer, look, it just didn't work out with him. It didn't work out with Hugh. Nobody wins in that relationship. It was just, it needed to be broken. It needed to be severed. But you brought in a guy. Now, here was a team last year, Cleveland, who was the joke of the league. They had no idea how to play coverage with a free safety. You're going to bring in DeMarcus Randall. He's played this role in college. A lot of his tape you see in Green Bay, he plays kind of a safety role. Once he gets 15 yards down the field, he's able to play his zone and attack the ball. So this is a guy they have some faith in to do something that they didn't have. Jarvis Landry, the way you look at the Browns is they have Corey Coleman, they have Josh Gordon, but you needed, not if one, you need two insurance policies. Corey Coleman's dealt with injuries. Obviously, Josh Gordon is the biggest risk in the game right now. So you needed guys who at least could come in and show production. This is something I said anytime we talk draft is, the draft class of wide receivers, it's not like it was 14 where you have guys that you say, oh, there's a wide receiver one, there's a wide receiver one, this guy's probably a wide receiver one. So you ask a guy to come in as a rookie, and all of a sudden, whether or not Josh Gordon, sadly could be gone, or Corey Coleman is on his way to another 6 to 8 week injury, now you're asking a rookie to step up who's not capable of being a one or a two to be a one or a two. But Landry, look, you can feed him. He has no problem with a high volume reception mark. He's good with that. So it's a smart move. things go well, Jarvis Landry is maybe the third or fourth guy in receptions on this team, but you have that insurance if you need it. Carlos Hyde, it just wasn't working out with Hugh, and again, it wasn't working out with Hugh and Isaiah Crowell. Carlos Hyde comes in here. I don't think that stops you from, you know, drafting a running back somewhere here. A lot of people want to say it's not John Dorsey's MO to draft a running back early, but John Dorsey's also sitting here currently with 5 picks in the top 64. So he can kind of do whatever he wants here, and he can has a chance to flip the script a little bit. I think they added a bunch of cornerbacks who are all similar. They're good in their zone. They're strong tacklers. I don't think there's a number one top dog in this unit, but I think you got a lot of guys that you have faith in, week out. And you compare them with a Brian Body Calhoun. I think Jamar Taylor may end up leaving this team just like McCourty did as well. But you have similar guys who can excel in the role as long as you don't ask them to do more than they're capable of.
So talking about the Browns roster, right? I think you covered it very well there, and like James says, I just want to echo the Browns have done a lot of good things this offseason. So I've been pretty impressed with what they've done. I think a lot of Colts fans are very frustrated because the team hasn't been able to sign a whole lot of free agents, and maybe they should have taken a book out of the Brown or the page out of the Browns book there and gone and traded for some of them, like you were talking about. Where do you see is the Browns' strength as far as their roster is concerned right now heading into the draft? Where's their strength? Where's like the one position group they really don't need to address as much as the others?
I think their offensive line, I think they're set with, and I think that part of the issue there is, though, is there's not a true left tackle. Look, when you hold 1 and 4, you can say, oh, we'll get a quarterback at 1, we'll get the left tackle of the future at 4. But here we are, guys. I mean, it's almost April. We don't know who the number one offensive tackle in this class is. And there's still some rumbling about whether or not any one of these left tackles really deserve to go round 1. They, you know, a couple of guys will go because it's such a big position of need. But, you know, they brought in Hubbard to play right tackle. You know, they're going to try, you know, Coleman at left tackle. Their interior offensive line is very strong. They have depth. You know, Drango played last year. He was the guy who manned left tackle week in, week out when Joe Thomas was out. Did he play great? No. But I don't know if you have enough, a guy that you can draft in the first round. You say, you want to know what? He's going to be better than Drango was. So that's something where they're probably okay. Offensive line. Defensive line. You can add to this group. It was a great group last year. Obviously, they moved on from Danny Shelton. If you can get Emmanuel Ogbah and Myles Garrett together on the field, they played single-digit games together last season. If you can get them on the field a lot more, I still think they're going to add to it, but it's still a positional unit strength. So that, and maybe you're going to add a wide receiver because, like I said, you need the two insurance policies. You have Jarvis Landry. Do you want to draft a guy? I don't know if nobody's going to fit their 1 or 4 picks, but 33, 35, 64 – you might be able to find a guy who can help you move the chains in situations there. And hopefully he doesn't have to be rushed. But if it's a Dante Pettis or that type of guy, he can be rushed because he's familiar with a heavy workload.
Jeff, before we started recording, you were talking about kind of the way this roster is laid out right now, which may surprise a lot of people. How do you see this draft strategy for the Browns playing out with the fact that despite going 1-31 in the past 2 seasons, there is a lot of talent on this team and there's not a lot of spots to really go around?
I think you're going to go hard and heavy. Look, if you're already holding 5 in the top 64, you're not going to drop out of that. The odds are better. You know, they started initially with 12 draft picks in this class. They moved on from some day 3 picks. They flopped, added some picks for 19. So they already feel, John Dorsey and company, that there's not a lot of holes on this roster. Maybe it's just, you know, obviously strengthening the depth. But you have Carlos Hyde. You have Duke Johnson. So maybe a draft a running back. A wide receiver core, like we mentioned. Maybe a number one cornerback. If you want to draft a developmental left tackle, I can understand that. But even still, this team maybe wins 5, 6 single-digit games next year. So you still be in position to draft a left tackle if it offers a better class in 19. So you don't want to go too deep. And look, you've already have, you know, you have Taylor here. You know, you signed another veteran quarterback. You're going to draft one. So that's it. You're done there. Tight end position, you signed Fells. You have David Njoku. You have Seth DeValve, who are great, young, athletic receiving options. You brought in a solid blocking tight end. So offense, like, a lot of that is filled. You still have Ricardo Lewis. So you have a lot of these spots filled. You just want to, you know, deepen your roster with high-octane guys where you can move on. I mean, I think anybody that they're going to look at fifth round or on is not going to be a guy who's got a serious shot at a roster spot.
All right. Well, Jeff, you have the honors. You are officially on the clock. Who are the Cleveland Browns drafting at number one in the 2018 NFL draft?
I think it's pretty much said and done that it's going to be Sam Darnold. Me personally, if I'm making the pick, I'm going to take Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen, you know, throwing the ball, which is what you're looking for from your quarterback, does everything you want right now. But here's Sam Darnold, not even 21 years old. Now, the thing with Sam Darnold is the entire – it started in August. I'm not going to go pro. I have no problem staying here for a fourth year at USC. He would have come out next draft cycle as a 21-year-old, which is perfectly fine. As the season went on, still, everybody I had on the show, and look, it was all signs were pointing towards the Browns drafting one. Everybody had on. Sam Darnold staying in school. Sam Darnold staying in school. Sam Darnold staying in school. He didn't declare till obviously, you know, the early, you know, days of January, where it was once well established that the Cleveland Browns were going to hold the number one selection. And all of a sudden, Sam Darnold's going pro. And I'm not degrading other guys that they want to get away from Cleveland. I don't think Sam, and this isn't from his pro day where he said, look, it's raining, it's fine, we're going to do this outside, we want to go to Cleveland. He knew this when he declared. He knew he could be a top 1, 2, 3 pick in this draft. He knew Cleveland held 2 top 4 picks in this draft. He wants to go here. The way the front office is set up, look, everybody has some hiccups in their game. Sam Darnold is his feet. You know, he needs to get better footwork to have better accuracy. You know, everybody wanted to make so much about him with his arm and the little hitch in the giddy up when he threw the ball. It's not that. It's the feet. Tony Romo, same type of guy as Sam Darnold. It's a little ugly. You wouldn't coach it that way, but it works for him. He keeps his feet clean. He gets to sit for a little while this team starts to build up a little credibility. I don't think this front office is going to let Hugh Jackson do much with him. I think they realize, you know, he poisoned to Cody Kessler. He poisoned to Sean Kizer. This front office is not going to let that do that. Let Hugh do that to the guy that they have their faith in. Their jobs are riding on, so he's going to be able to sit, continue to work on mechanics, and, you know, when it's time, you know, whether it's November, maybe December, he'll get a couple starts under his belt, but he's the guy. He wants this. He knows where he's going to, and he knows he's going to be a part of, you know, hopefully making something better. He's just the right guy for this fit, even if he is not the number one quarterback on your board.
And that makes sense. I'll tell you right now. I mean, I've gone on record. I actually published my first complete first round mock draft on the Peter Plank today, and I did not have the Browns taking Sam Darnold only because I took my first one as my ability to say what I would do, despite what everybody thinks and knows the Browns will do. So I went away from Sam Darnold. Now I've admitted to James in private. I'll say it now publicly that I do agree that I think the Browns will go with Sam Darnold. I just, again, I don't think it's the right move, but. You mentioned Hugh Jackson, you know, poisoning Cody Kessler, poisoning Deshaun Kizer. So do you, I made it very, very, very well known on my Twitter account when Hugh Jackson, you know, when he put in Deshaun Kizer in the first place and then unceremoniously yanked him and benched him and then decided, oh, never mind, we're going to put him back in. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen worse rookie quarterback management, in my NFL watching days, but, so you think like, Sam Darnold's going to get put on a shelf for what we probably expect to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. That's what you think?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, look, this front office, I mean, it's weird when you come into the situation and, you know, the team is 1-31 and, you know, the brand new front office guys, but the head coach gets to stay over 1-31. And look, and look, Sacha Brown, whichever way you look at it, whether it's the analytics or what he did, he drafted some good ball players. The Browns have a lot of good players who are under the age of 25. Whether it's a Miles Garrett, whether it's a Larry Ogunjobi, whether it's Emmanuel Ogbah, Joe Schobert, actually was a guy who made a Pro Bowl last year. You know, mm-hmm. damn near 130 tackles. A lot of talent was brought in. You know, I do think they fired the wrong guy. And I'm not saying, you know, look, you know, Sasha's got to stay. But look, my thing is if you weren't happy with 1-31, everybody's got to go. So I don't think this front office is coming in here and John Dorsey, whatever quarterback he takes at one, this is where his job is going to lie. He's the GM here. So, you know, why are you going to let the guy who went 1-31 destroy two young quarterbacks really get his hooks in the ear guy? Because now you're letting Hugh Jackson, who's got this proven record of mishandling these guys too early, but now your name is attached to that. I don't see it.
Yeah, no, I definitely see where you're coming from. I'll be honest with you. I was surprised that Hugh Jackson was keeping his job at the end of the season when it was announced that he was going to be. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. So,
no, I'm sorry. Hugh, it's terrible. I mean, he shouldn't have stayed. It's just, look, I mean, you go 1-31. I mean, think about anything you do in life. I mean, you hire somebody to work for you, but he gets something right 1-32. I mean, you know, and even the worst part was he didn't even graduate to 1-15. He went from 1-15 to 0-16. Just terrible. Just terrible.
All right. Well, Jeff, we certainly appreciate you taking a few minutes to give us some insight on the Browns and make this first pick. Where can the fine folks across social media and our wonderful listeners track you down and talk more about the Browns or the NFL draft or anything else that may happen to pique your interest?
Well, I mean, guys, always first of all, follow the personal account. I tweet a lot. It's a sick obsession. @Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. The Locked On Browns podcast, you know, obviously David Locke, you know, gives us all a great platform for everybody here to put out some, you know, opinions, put out, you know, the takes and that type of stuff. So, you know, appreciate all that. But, guys, you know, it's been fun. And, guys, before I go, do you guys have a consensus? What does Tampa want at 7?
Oh, God. depends on who you ask, honestly. there's the Sage contingent. There's the Quentin Nelson contingent. There is the large portion of the Tampa Bay fan base that are also Florida State fans, and they find that one Seminole every single year to scream, this absolutely has to be the pick, or the Bucks are the stupidest organization in history. That, of course, this year is Derwin James.
There's also the Buckeye that I always hope the team is going to draft that they never do. There's also that guy.
Yeah, let's stay away from the Buckeyes.
But I will tell you this, guys. Quentin Nelson, he's actually a New Jersey guy like myself, graduated mm-hmm. from my high school. There, I tell you right now, guys, you're talking about a 10-year. Y'all love Mike Allstott. You guys like guys like that. Imagine getting like a Hall of Fame All-Pro left guard for like a decade. That's the dude Quentin Nelson is, man. That would be, I mean, nobody likes, oh my God, we drafted a left guard in the top 10. And then 10 years later, God damn, that was a really good draft pick. Yeah, I mean, like, nobody ever respects it, but that's the type of guy you're getting with him. So, I mean, he'd be a great pick. Saquon, I think there's a solid shot he's going to be there at 7. So it's interesting how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I have Quentin Nelson number one on my personal wish list. I would rather trade down than draft Saquon Barkley, but that's my own personal preference. You know, I had somebody tell me on Twitter the other day that I'm trying too hard to be different with my hot Saquon Barkley takes, but we hear it every year at the running back position. He's a generational talent. Nobody's ever been like him before, and it's like, it's every single year. And Saquon Barkley, to me, doesn't do anything so spectacular that it's worth the number 7 pick rather than waiting until the second round and potentially getting a Geis or a Michelle or a Kelly or a Chubb or one of those guys. I would much rather take Quentin Nelson at 7 if he's available and have the nastiest interior offensive line in the league than spend that draft capital on Barkley when he's not the final piece that they need.
And that's the thing, like, people kind of get caught up in it, and because it's worked out recently. Like, you know, Ezekiel has worked out for the Cowboys. Fournette worked out for the Jags. And Gurley with the Rams. But, like, there's so many other factors. So, you know, I'm not going to say Saquon. You know, if there was the right fit for him in the top 10, by all means, make it happen. But, you know, so many people get caught up that a guy should go top 10 as a running back. But, man, you got to really have your house in order before you're going to spend all that on a guy like that early.
Right. Well, and as somebody who covers the Browns, how many times did you hear that Trent Richardson was a generational talent and the greatest running back to come out since Adrian Peterson?
Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of a sudden he, you know, had the peripheral vision of like a giraffe. You know, I mean, just like he couldn't see anything. It's just, you know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you gotta have your house in order if you're going to be running back top 10.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, again, Jeff, thank you so much. And everybody, make sure you're checking out Jeff over at the Locked On Browns podcast. And follow him on Twitter at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Jeff, again, buddy, thank you so much. And we hope to talk to you again here real soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jeff.
All the best. Yeah, apparently, you know, I would be up again in about, you know, 3 or 4 picks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll be interested to hear your reaction to the next 2 picks and find out what you're going to do at number 4, because there is no trading. There's no trading in our progressive mock. That's going to involve lots of additional phone calls that might bore the listeners.
And teams. Emails and chains of emails. Yeah, nobody wants that nonsense, fellas. Nobody wants it.
No.
But guys, keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. All right, that was Jeff Lloyd from the Locked On Browns podcast, making the first pick in our progressive mock. At number 1, the Cleveland Browns are going quarterback Sam Darnold. No surprise to me, no surprise to Dave. I'm sure it still made him wince a little bit because he does not believe in the Browns taking a quarterback. Yep. But like his collegiate allegiances, Dave is often wrong.
We'll see. This is going to be the first time the Browns prove me wrong about drafting a quarterback. Let me tell you.
Coming up next on the Locked On Bucks podcast, we are going to discuss a little bit of a hot button topic that popped up just the other day. So we'll get into that coming up. You are listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. Make sure you're checking out everything that we are doing over at thepewterplank.com. And Dave, there's some controversy, there's some anger, there's some outrage, there's some why is this even a story, but we have to address it, we have to talk about it, I know, but it's the whole Instagram Vernon Hargraves smoking the unknown substance, how it came to be, how it came to light, how it went viral with this fake Vernon Hargraves account that had 0 followers, followed 0 people. The only post was this, this video of him. It doesn't matter how it came out at this point. You know, there's a story by our contributor and the PewterCast host, Brent Allen, over at thepewterplank.com about things that he's discovered regarding this. But at this point, it's out there. It's made national news. It's a situation that the Buccaneers surely did not want to have to deal with, but more than likely are going to have to deal with. The league is going to have to deal with it. And it could lead to a suspension. So you're looking at a potential suspension looming for Jameis Winston. You're looking at a potential suspension now looming for Vernon Hargraves. What do you make of this video and kind of how and where the Bucks go from here regarding Hargraves, and if this is going to be a long-term problem? Is this an old video? I mean, just what's your initial take on everything that's gone on?
Well, the first thing, and this is kind of what Brent wrote about in the post that he put on the website, is, I don't know. I've been on the earth for a little while, not as long as some people, but long enough to know some things. And I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I've learned that there really aren't a whole lot of coincidences out there in the world. And, you know, I don't know, man, like we're all out here just trying to do our thing. Most of us are trying to be supportive and, you know, be a little bit honest, not, maybe not as honest as a Greg Allman is going to be, because, you know, he's full fledged paid to be an impartial observer and give the truth and the fact as he sees it. Not necessarily so, I don't want to call it rah-rah, because that's not really what they do either, but we're not as Bucks blind as, you know, a team website is going to be. A team website is not going to come out and write a scathing editorial about why the team's starting quarterback should be benched. That's just not going to ever happen on Buccaneers.com, Browns.com. I promise you, you know, you never saw anything on Browns.com about DeShone Kizer is a horrible quarterback and should get traded. You're not going to see that there. But it just feels off, because if whoever has this video, right? So first of all, if it is marijuana, which is what everybody thinks it is, right? If it is marijuana, it is Vernon Hargraves. I don't know. It's kind of a classic young guy story. You know, you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing. You're trying to do big things with your life and in the NFL and as a football player. Why? First of all, why do it? Second of all, why let it be recorded? But if it is him and somebody was holding on to this tape, I don't know. I imagine if I'm the person with this video and I want it to get out because I want to hurt Vernon Hargraves, because not for nothing, there is no other reason to release this than to hurt Vernon Hargraves. I'm going to reach out to the Greg Allmans, Rick Strouds, Scott Reynolds, you know, Mark Cooks, Trevor Sikkema's of the world before anybody else. Like, I wouldn't reach out to me. I wouldn't reach out to you. I wouldn't reach out to Gil, our friend over at Bucks Nation. You know, I like what we do, obviously, but we're not the sources that I would reach out to get this thing released out there. So, you know, coincidences are what they are. I don't believe it's a coincidence whatsoever. I don't know how whoever got it. But what Trevor, speaking of Trevor Sikkema, right? He said it himself, at least on Twitter. You know, I don't know if they're going to address this on their podcast or anything quite yet. But first of all, it looks like him. It definitely does. I'm not going to don't take this as, you know, me just being naive, but it's yet to be confirmed that it's him. I got it. It definitely looks like him. So I believe it is as well. You don't know what the substance is. Okay. Now I know there's some social markers, right? The way people smoke weed stereotypically, the way that people hold blunts, joints, whatever you're smoking. There's some social stigmas there that, you know, kind of go along with that substance. And it definitely fits the mold there, kind of like it did with Tunsil, right? A couple years ago. So all that fits in place, right? But here's what we don't know. Because I'll tell you right now, Vernon Hargraves walking down the street right now looks like a high schooler. Like you see in the movie 21 Jump Street or whatever. Like if he wasn't a famous NFL player, he could be doing that for some law enforcement office somewhere, going back into high school and infiltrating the school as a senior or a junior and getting information on the inside. That's how young Vernon Hargraves looks. So this video could be from high school. This video could be from his junior, sophomore, freshman, you know, year of college. This video could be from yesterday. You know, I don't know. I don't know. We have no idea when this video is, and there's no way to really date it without the person who had it coming out and making some sort of statement, or Vernon Hargraves himself coming out and making some sort of statement. And as dumb as it is as an NFL prospect or player to do something like that and let it be videoed, it's even dumber to come out and say, yeah, that was me last week. I got integrity and I will teach my children and always advise people to have integrity and be honest and face the music and all that stuff, but that's not happening. Okay. And as far as drug testing is concerned, I don't know all of the drug test rules. I do vaguely remember listening to a Miko Grimes podcast a while back where she talked about, like, during the off season, there's really not any drug testing going on because, you know, like, they're off and they're not under control of the teams and all. So I don't know how true that is. I don't know what the scheduling is, but I promise you that if that video was taken recently, like, Vernon Hargraves is in full blown cleansing mode as we speak. in preparation for whatever. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's going to boil down to, is Vernon Hargreaves, it was a suspicious item. None of it's confirmed. And I don't think, even as trigger happy as the NFL has been on suspensions, I don't think they can really do anything without some sort of corroborative, if that's the right word, corroborative evidence or statements from people who have a reasonable expectation of knowledge of the situation coming out and coming to light even further than just this video. I just don't see how it's going to work, because, you know, everybody's always going to look at the Ezekiel Elliott thing, right? And the Jameis Winston thing, like the Jameis Winston Uber thing and stuff in college. There's a person coming out saying, I have this happened to me. I was there. I witnessed this. I am putting my name, my word, my integrity on this information. This video doesn't have that. This video has false Instagram accounts that are getting deleted as fast as they're getting put up. No followers, nobody that they're following. So you can't even link, like, oh, you follow A, B, C, and D, so you're probably this guy. You can't even do that with this. And whoever this person is, at least up to this point that I've known, has not made themselves known to any credible source, such as the Pew Report or Tampa Bay Times or the Buccaneers themselves. So you have no actual person or entity saying, here's my accusation, here's where this happened, here's the context behind this, right? So that's reason number one. And the other thing, like Ezekiel Elliott, like his Mardi Gras thing, right? Like there's video of it, like you can date that. You can say this was Ezekiel Elliott at 2017's Mardi Gras. Here's what he did to this woman, whether or not she was, you know, offended or felt, you know, assaulted or harassed by it is not a point to the NFL because they have an image to uphold. Got it. But you can date it. So even though there was no complainant in the Mardi Gras incident that I'm aware of, there was a date. You could put that on a time and say, hey, you were a representative of the Shield. You did bad by the Shield, so we're going to do bad by you. You can't do that with this video. So there's just too many uncertainties and unknowns about it for me to believe that even the NFL is going to go so far reaching and say, you know, because what's the next step on this? Is somebody from a 7-Eleven in Odell Beckham's hometown going to say, hey, when that dude was 14, he stole a Snickers from my store and I got the video of it. Oh, well, we're going to suspend him now for 4 games because at 14. You know what I mean? Like, without being able to date it, prove that it was during his time as an NFL player, or have a person or entity be a complainant or provide any type of context, I don't believe there's anything the team or the NFL can really do other than sit Vernon down and say, hey, look, if it was you, stop it. If it was recent, definitely stop it and don't do it again. Besides that, I don't really see what else can be done.
The only counter to that is that I believe it was Jenna Lane that had posted on Twitter that the NFL can actually reach back to your last 2 years as a member of the NCAA to institute the drug program. You know, if you had an incident in college, you can automatically be enrolled into the NFL's substance abuse program or whatever the name of it is. Mm-hmm. And that comes with a suspension. So,
right. And in order to do that, they would have to be able to date the video. That's, you know what I mean? Right. Like, without being able to date the video, which again is not going to happen unless the person who has the video comes forward and outs themselves and says, I took this video on this date or whatever at this campus, or Vernon himself saying when that happened, which again, I think Vernon has enough people around him to not let that happen.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, David, I think that's going to do it for us. Coming up on Tuesday, or I'm sorry, we record on Tuesday. Coming up on Wednesday's show, we will have the second day of our progressive mock draft series featuring the New York Football Giants. Again, big shout out to them for sending us Jason Pierre-Paul. Appreciate that. So we will have somebody covering the Giants who will represent them for this draft and get to know a little bit of their strategy, because they're one of the biggest wild cards in this thing, David. We really don't know what the Giants are going to do. They could go quarterback. They could go Barkley. They could go Nelson. They could go Chubb. They can go a myriad of directions. They could go the trade down route with the Broncos or the Cardinals or the Dolphins. That's when we're really going to start to see some of the interesting dominoes fall. As soon as the Giants pick, we're going to start to get a feel for what's going to transpire, not only through the course of the rest of probably the top 10, but especially for the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that conversation. In the meantime, make sure you are checking out everything over at thepewterplank.com. We are doing our daily draft profiles. We are featuring prospects that could go to the Buccaneers anywhere from day one to day three. You know, we're covering a very wide spectrum, not all the big names, not all the big schools. It's going to cover a lot. And so we have 27 more of those coming. So make sure you are checking those out. Check out Dave's first mock draft. It's a fun read. It's an interesting read. And remember, he did this through the eyes of him, not necessarily the teams. The more team-friendly mock draft will be coming at some point, I would assume, David. Make sure you're following along on Twitter, at LockedOnBucks, at ThePewterPlank, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DH82_Bucks. Hope you all have a wonderful, safe, and happy weekend, and thanks you all for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.